Psalm. We're going to look at one verse and get right into the message. Again, thank you for being here today. And I hope and pray that God blesses with the message that I have for you. And Psalm 146, if you would with me. I'm looking at the top of the page. It says 145, 146, but it's 146. We're going to look at one verse, Psalm 146, basically in the middle of your Bible. The Bible says this in Psalm 146, verse 5. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Heavenly Father, thank you and praise you for all that you've done for us. And we do thank you on this Father's Day, remembering all the fathers that are here, mothers as well, but the fathers today. I pray that you help them, give them strength, give them courage, encourage them in the Lord. I beg of you to help me with a message that might help them out, but help everybody out. May this be a time of rejoicing of our Heavenly Father. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. It's kind of a strange Father's Day today. My dad passed away last year, so my wife said she's going to call her dad. Kind of hard to call my dad right now. But some of you have your fathers that have gone before, and so I had a phone call from one of my sons this morning, and a gift from another, and breakfast with another, so it's always nice. Fathers are important. It is a proven fact that families are better with a dad and mom in the home, but especially a father. Back in the early years of this country, and I mean the early years of the 20th century, the 1900s. In the 1900s, in Black America, the fathers were working more than in white America at the time. 80% of the Black American children were raised with a father. Today, 70% of Black American children do not have a father or know who their father is. That's sad, isn't it? Fathers are very important. They wonder why they're going downhill. Well, there's a reason. And thanks to the Democrat Party, they got them stuck on that bill that they wanted, that just dumb. I remember talking to a friend of mine that's an Indian. He goes, I hate the agreement my great-great-grandfather signed. A lot of times our family gets us in trouble, isn't it? But it's nice to have someone to help you. It's nice. Dads are supposed to be helpful in the home. Guys, hopefully you're not that father that just goes to work, comes home, and sits in front of the television or in front of a computer or a newspaper and just, do we have newspapers still? And just sits there and goes into zone out in your video games or whatever. Hopefully you're a blessing in your home. Amen. Hopefully you get involved with your home and not to be that way. We all need help from time to time. Amen? As soon as we're born, we need help. Sometimes we don't want it. Sometimes we don't ask for it, but we need help. As babies, we need help, and in old age, we need help. And yes, between the cradle and the grave, praise God, we have a Heavenly Father that can help us in the time of need. In fact, He's a very present help in time of need. You know, I was not always there for my kids. Now, I was a father that put in my hours during the day at work and got right home. I remember one of my friends at work said, you want to go fishing with us? I said, nope. They go, why? You and the fish stink. My wife does not. Amen. I guess everybody stinks. Some stink good, some stink bad. Amen. But we all need help. We need to understand that. In the life of Jacob, we see the God of Abraham, Isaac, and later on of Jacob coming to his aid in time of need over and over again. I don't know if you knew this, God chose him to reform as he wishes to do for us. Go in Psalm chapter 46. Look up some verses real quick before we get into the message. Psalm 46, if you would, with me. The book of Psalm and chapter 46. The Bible says, God is our refuge and strength, verse 1, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river. The word Selah means, what do you think of that? In other words, that's a good thing. There is a river, verse 4 in chapter 46, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. Hey, God just had to speak, and the whole earth shook. Amen. The Lord of hosts is with us, and all God's people said. And the God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Go, if you would, please, to the book of, let me see, get the right one, Malachi in chapter 3. The book of Malachi, the last book in your Old Testament. The book of Malachi, if you would. Look at Malachi with me. If you would, please. We're going to go to chapter 3, and we're going to look down at verse 16. The Bible says, "Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and thought upon his name." Matthew chapter 10, if you would with me. The book of Matthew and chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, I have no idea why I'm in the book of Mark. Why am I doing that for? Matthew 10, look down verse 29. Matthew 10, 29 says this, "Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are more value." I know the ecologists and these liberals don't want to hear this. You're of more value than many sparrows, seals, dolphins. I'll make it a little closer to home. Spotted owls, salmon. You're worth more than that to the Lord. Look at verse 42 of the same chapter, if you would, please. The Bible says, "Whosoever ever give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cool water, only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward." John chapter 10, if you would with me. The book of John chapter 10. John 10, if you would. Look down at verse 3 with me. The Bible says in John 10, verse 3, it says, "To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name." Come on, amen. Somebody came in this morning named Jane, and I said, "Jane?" She goes, "No, it's Jane, not Jane, not Jan, not jam between your toes." She goes, "No, it's Jane. Call me by Jane." She went on a spill about someone that did not call her Jane. And guess what I'm not going to do is call her Jan. God knows your name. Think about that for a second. Someone told me years ago the most important word in the English language is your own first name. When people know your name, God knows your name. John 14, 27, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth you, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." We need to understand that we have a God that is the God of Jacob. And we're going to look at that, if you would, please. The God of Jacob this morning. Go to 1 Timothy, if you would. I'm going to give you some things here that might be a blessing to you. 1 Timothy, if you would. What kind of God do we have? We have God that cares for us. "If you pick up a starving dog and make him prosperous, he will not bite you. That is principal difference between a dog and a man." Oh, me? Mark Twain said that many years ago. The first thing that we need to see about this God of Jacob, he's a God that loves the unworthy. Chapter 1, verse 1, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the commandment of God, our Savior," 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1, "and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope." Verse 12. Now he's talking, Paul's, anybody remember who Paul was? Paul was Saul of Tarsus. But he got saved by grace. Amen? In verse 12 it says, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, put me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. 1 John chapter 4, if you would please. 1 John chapter 4. I'll wrap this point up quickly, but you need to see this with these verses. 1 John chapter 4, look at verse 10. The Bible says this, herein is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. I don't know if you understand what that means, because we use that word and we kind of just flow it out. In fact, sometimes it sounds cool, propitiation. We kind of like to just say it. If we could get to where we can say it. It took me about 3 years to figure this word out. Propitiation. Boy, that's a beautiful word. But you know what it means? He died for you. He stepped in and took your place. You were supposed to die and spend eternity in hell, and instead Jesus says, I got this. Now, you may think you were worthy, but I wasn't. Okay? He says, herein, he says, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. Let that sink in. No man have seen God at any time. If he love one another, God dwell within us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There's no fear in love. Perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. God loves the unworthy. Now, I have no idea where you folks came from, but I did not come from a perfect background. I did not live a perfect life, and I praise God that I got saved at a very young age. But you know, in my 13 years, I decided I was going to try to be as bad as I possibly could. And I was a bad boy. I was a disobedient boy. I was a wild boy. And I praise God that He saved me. I was told by my parents, my stepmother, I was told by the Catholic priest, the nuns, I was told by my neighbors, there's no way that you're going to heaven. And I praise the Lord, I went to a church that preached about the whosoever, and that God loves us whosoever we are. You know, I was always trying to be better and good enough for God to accept me, and God said, hold on a second. I love the world, and I loved you while you were an idiot, while you were a blasphemer, while you were a persecutor, while you were an adulterer, while you were a murderer, while you were a drug addict, while you were an alcoholic, while you were a wife beater, while you were a children beater, a child molester, no matter what, I loved you then, God said. This is the Father up in heaven. He said, I loved you even though you were unworthy. God loves and different than man loves. Love is not blind. It sees more, not less. Because it sees more, it is willing to see less. Ours is conditional. His is unconditional. Ours cost another person something. God's love cost himself. Our love seeks personal benefit. His love seeks our benefit. God so loved the world, He gave. And He keeps on giving. Loadeth us down with benefits. God's concept on us is different. Man's concept about himself leads to pride. God's to truth. Man's leads to working. I can get better. God's work for mercy and grace. Man's leads to self-esteem. God's leads to justification. Man's way of saying things encourages pride. God's way of saying things encourages humility. God's reaction is different than man's reaction. Ashley Montego said this, "It is not the most lovable individuals who stand in the need of love, but the most unlovable." We need to understand that. God's reaction to us is different. Man's reaction is sensitivity to Scripture. God's is to patience. Man leads to sensationalist. We love God. We want to get all... Oh, I was joking with one of the kids on the way in. We're getting ready to come into the service. And I grabbed him and said, "We need to praise the Lord." And I said, "Praise the Lord. He is mighty. Praise the Lord." We did it about 8 times. And he goes, "You got a few more to go, Pastor." Because that's why church is sensationalism. Yeah. Amen? That's what it leads to. God is to forgiveness. God's love leads for Him to forgive us. Man leads to sin upon sin. God leads to sanctification. We need to understand. We are loved by our Heavenly Father, the God of Jacob, even though we are unworthy. Here's the problem I see with most people I meet that are called religious, is they think they're worthy of God's love. My Bible teaches that we are not lovable in God's eyes, but He loves us anyway. 1 Corinthians, if you would please. So we see this God of Jacob is the God who loves the unworthy. But go, if you would please, to the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter 1, and we see the next thing here. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, we see that He loves the unworthy. And I don't know about you, but I'm very grateful that He does. And in 1 Corinthians 1, if you would please, at verse 26, "For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, and not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that which are mighty, and the base things in the world, and the things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, Him that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." So we see the second thing about this God of Jacob. So if you're here today and you're saved and you look back on your life and I go, hopefully all of us feel this way. I am not worthy of His love. You know, I really believe this with all my heart. We should be as a child when we come to God and have a childlike faith. And there isn't a child in the world that is in their right mind that think they're worthy of doing very much. In fact, I hear it all the time. I remember when we'd have people come in with their children. I said, "Well, get your kid to pick up their toys. They should be put to work." And they go, "Just a child. Let them play." Man alive, no, they ought to learn how to pick up after themselves. Amen? Amen. I ought to learn that. And you put it there. I ain't picking it up. You pick it up. But people today, listen, we ought to be that way, though, when we come to Christ. The Bible says you need to come as a child with humility. And when we come and say, "I'm not worthy." But a lot of times we come with packages and we think, "Well, we're good enough." The Lord says, "I never knew you." Remember those people in the book of Matthew that came to the Lord and He said, "I never knew you. Don't you be giving me all that stuff that you did." No. I didn't know you. You come to God with a humble spirit and say, "I'm unworthy." And God says, "I got you. I'll take you." Number two, though, He chooses the unlikely. Let me just give you a few examples. Moses. Now, we all look at Moses and we think of Charlton Heston. And we think how great it was for Charlton Heston. We don't know the true story about the whole thing. We find a little bit of that in the book of Hebrews. But we know very little about Moses. Moses had to be brought up different, because today we would call it special ed. Special needs. In our days, we called it retarded. That wasn't an insult. That was retarded, meaning they were a little bit slow. Okay? Or we said they got hit in the head too much when they was a kid. I'm not joking. It's just words. We just change the words. It's the same thing. And we say, well, they're special needs people. Now, let me just throw something out to you. If somebody could tie the shoe, they can make a meal. They could clean their bed. They could do laundry. Anybody that could be taught one thing could be taught more than one thing. Don't make your children that are, quote, special needs retarded. Maybe they take more work. Moses had special needs, but Moses rose to leadership. Could have been chosen Pharaoh. Moses stuttered. He had a speech impediment. And he kind of just kind of reminded me, some of you heard this about the guy. Well, I gave it away. I'll say it anyway. Guy's coming over there and trying to start a Bible printing and sales company in his town. And he had people coming in and out, and they'd sell five or six. All of a sudden, he had somebody that was selling them like hotcakes. He went out, came back in at noon, and sold 500 Bibles. Guy goes, man alive! He gave him 250 more. 2 hours later, had them all gone. Gave him 250 more before he got those. So, hold on a second, I got to know, how you doing? He goes, well, it's real easy. I just tell him, do you want a Bible or do you want me to read it to you? Came the salesman of the month. Amen? Hey, all I'm saying is Moses had a problem. But God, look what God did with Moses. And today, a lot of the five books we know, Moses was a very well-known man. And they always go, the Jews always go, well, what about Moses? Moses had problems, but God used him. He could have used Ramesses. Didn't have any physical difficulties. Man, you remember Yul Brynner? I think he could have whipped Charlton Heston. I didn't think so, but hey, I'm just telling you, come on. Gideon was fearful. Gideon was hiding. People don't, and the Lord goes, hey, Gideon, ye of a mighty valor. He was hiding in a cave, winnowing his wheat in the cave. Winnowing his wheat. Can you believe that? The Lord used Gideon mightily, didn't he? Had 32,000 men. The Lord said, hey, that's too many. I'm going up over almost 200,000, but 32 is too many. He goes, okay, so 22,000 went home. He said, if you're scared, he can't go home. And 22,000 left, down to 10,000. Looked at him, he goes, okay, let's go. We're ready to fight. How you want me to do this? He goes, I want you to go to a lake head on there, and those that get down on their faces and drink, those guys you send home. The rest that kneel down and lap it up like a dog, keep them. 300. That's it. Come on, amen. So those 300 go. Yeah, the real 300. That's good. Those guys went up again and wiped them out. And then the Lord said, I got a battle plan for you. Amen. You get a light, a pitcher with a light in it, and a trumpet. You're going to beat them to death. And that's all they used. Gideon, come on. 150,000 of the enemies died. God does great things. David was a little boy. He was so unlikely when Jesse was told to go to the house. I mean, when Samuel came and told Jesse, gather your sons up. I got a new king to crown. Guess who was still in the field? Little old David. But God says, no, I'm not looking at this man, see. I look at the heart. And he picked David and brought him in there. And boy, we all know about David and Goliath and other things. Martin Luther had a fiery temper. I'm talking about the original Martin Luther, not the Martin Luther King. John Wesley was short of stature. D.L. Moody had no education, not even a fourth grade education. Charles Haddon Spurgeon and Murray... Murray were all ill health. Spurgeon died at 59 of ill health and barely made it to the pulpit the last 5 years of his life for bad health. And yet, Well, look what he's done for God's work. Fanny Crosby was blind at 6 months. Wrote over 8,000 poems, which a lot of them had turned into songs. Amen? By all human standards, Jacob was not the right choice. Jacob was a mama's boy. Smooth hands. Smooth necks. No facial hair. He looked like a little girl. They had to take a sheep and kill it, or goat, sorry, and put all the skins and the hair on him to make him look like a man. Man, if Isaac had eyes, he'd have said, "What is that?" But he was blind, couldn't see. All he could do was feel. He even had to try to lower his voice. I was joking with my grandson, Brad, because he had hollered at one of his friends, says, "Hey!" And I said, "Don't do that." Go, "Hey!" And he goes, "Hey." He's over there trying to practice James Earl Jones. "Hey." Why is that? But hey, Jacob was not the right choice. By God's standards, no one would make it. Because holy, no sin, is all I'll use. That's what God said. None of us would make it. Not a one of us. Am I right? By the grace and power of our majesty, all can make it. God is not interested in assigning blame to anybody. His primary concern is solving a problem. Remember what David said in the book of Psalm, chapter 144, verse 3. "What is man that thou takest knowledge of him?" Come on, amen. Isaiah stood, looked up, and God gave him a glimpse of the throne of glory. He saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the earth. The cherubim were flying around. And he fell on his face and says, "I'm a man of unclean lips." We don't deserve what God has done for us. Amen. We have a God, though, that believes in choosing the ungodly. Lastly, if you would, please. Genesis chapter 25, if you would. Genesis 25. Look up a couple of verses, and I'll get my last point, and we'll be done. Get you to the barbecue. I'm not going to read it all because it just take too long, but I want to read this before we go into our last point. It actually starts at the beginning of the chapter, but it says in verse 22 that the children struggled together within her, and she said, "It is if it be so." In other words, she got pregnant because Isaac prayed to the Lord. For 20 years she was barren, but she finally produced a child, or twins. And she went and inquired, if it is so, verse 22, why am I thus? Why am I having problems? She went to inquire of the Lord, and the Lord said to her, "Two nations are in thy womb. Two men or people shall be separated from thy bowels. The one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. When her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. The first came out red all over like a hairy garment, and they called his name Esau. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold of Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob." That means dissenter, someone that causes problems. "And Isaac was 80 years old." So if you call your kid Jacob, that's not good. "And when she bare them, and the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man in the field, and Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents." He was in there playing video games all day. "And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob." See, mama's boy. "And Jacob sowed pottage." He made soup. "Esau came from the field, and he was faint. Said unto Jacob, 'Feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint. Therefore, was his name, called Edom. Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. Now, if you don't know what that means, he would get 2/3 of his dad's wealth when his dad died, and his brother would get one portion. So to sell it means now Jacob's going to get 2, and Esau would only get 1. So that's what it means. Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. And Esau said, behold, I am at the point to die. Anybody, any of you kids been so hungry you could die? I've heard that so many times. I'm going to die. And what profit shall this birthright do to me? Jacob said, swear to me this day. And he sware unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink, rose up, and went his way. Listen to this. Thus Esau despised his birthright. Would you say Esau despised Jacob for stealing that birthright? Later on, you find out in chapter 26 that God, Esau and them get involved with this, and get involved with dreams and stuff, the stars and all that. We're going to go on. I don't want to spend a lot of time. Later on, they send Jacob away. Jacob gets sent away by Mama, and he goes to Laban. Laban cheats him over and over again. He escapes because God said, go home. And Laban comes to kill him. Am I right? And God, if it wasn't for God in a dream at night, he would have killed Jacob. What I'm trying to say is God's protecting Jacob all this time. Why? He is unwanted. But God can change the unwanted. God only loves the unworthy, chooses the unlikely, but God, this is a God who can change the unwanted. God tested him over and over again. He was unwanted for 20 years and even unwanted by Laban. Was having a problem with wanting God's will even. Was a cause of many backfires. But God broke him. We find that in chapter 32. Go to chapter 32. Chapter 32 of the book of Genesis. This is kind of interesting. Look down in verse 24. Chapter 32, verse 24. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him till the break of day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. Hey, what happened is this angel of the Lord, it just says a man, and it's whoever it was someone from heaven that the Bible says later on you had prevailed against God. In other words, you were fighting with God to get a blessing. God gave him a blessing, called him Israel. But how did God do that? He had to break him. God loves you so much, he might have to break you. We got to understand that. God broke him, but God did use him. Amen? He says, what is thy name? In verse 27, he said, Jacob. He said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but, say it. Isn't that true still today? It's the nation of, would you say the nation of Jacob? Well, you could. It wouldn't be right, because God changed it, but it could be. Where did Israel come from? Jacob. Isn't that neat? God does things different than we would. Yet he loves the unworthy. There is not one of my children I would trade it for. There have been times I would have killed them, but not traded for someone else. There are some that I'm sure they felt unworthy to be called my son. But we still loved them. My wife and I did. I have had some of them not love me back, but we have loved them. Where did I learn that? I learned that from God. God loved me even though I was unworthy. He used me, chose me even though I was unlikely. I go back to my church in Missouri, and we had 100 young men in our youth group. 99 of them were better than me. And I still remember when I got called to preach. Out of those 100 kids, I got called to preach. 100 men. I was the one that got called to preach. And I remember one of them saying, "Why you?" I said, "Because I volunteered." I said, "If you those 99 won't go, take me." And God took me. The unlikely one. I have a lot of times I go back to Missouri and they go, "If there's anyone that would be called to preach, we did not think it was you." I have a God that loves the unlikely. And He can change the unwanted. He can make you better. We have a great God. We have a great Father, don't we? Let's bow our heads if you would, please.